We'll dismiss our classes at this time. We're going to be in Ruth chapter 2 this morning. Ruth chapter 2. As the classes are heading upstairs, Ruth chapter 2. The title of this message, or lesson, is Gleaning in the Fields. Gleaning in the Fields. And as far as a recap of last week, we looked at chapter 1 where Naomi and Ruth returned, Ruth went to Bethlehem. And I guess as we get ready to go into this chapter, just a reminder, as far as Ruth was concerned, I think she left everything behind. What I mean by that is she left all that she had behind so that way she could follow and live there in Bethlehem. So this morning, we're going to be in Ruth chapter 2, and in verse 1 it says, And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. It says here, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So we're going to stop there this morning, and we're going to look at our chapter. I'm just going to break it down into three sections here. We're going to see that Ruth was resourceful. You know what she did? She refused to sit idly by when she could work. I tell you, that's even today in our country, we find a lot of people who aren't very resourceful. But she was very resourceful. She was recognized. When I mean recognized, I think her diligence and her desire to live correct was recognized, as we'll see this morning. And then eventually at the end, we see she was rewarded. But gleaning in the fields. The Bible begins with an introduction in chapter 1 to a man by the name of Boaz. So we're going to talk about Boaz here for a minute. His name means in him is strength. We find that Boaz really was in the line of royalty, so to speak. He was a grandson of Nahshon, who was a prince of the tribe of Judah. And also we know that he was a grandson of Salmon and Rahab. Basically, we find that the Lord planned and purposed to use him, and I guess you say his line, to produce the Messiah. And so that's what we find. Anyway, we find also in this passage that he had a relationship with Naomi as far as next of kin. Doesn't tell us exactly. Doesn't say he was brother to Elimelech. Many believe he was probably a cousin or a little bit of a distant relative to Elimelech. So we find here that he was related as far as that was concerned. And we also find the Bible tells us that he was a mighty man of wealth, is what the Bible tells us, a mighty man of wealth. He possessed much. We know that he had fields. Today we're going to see where Ruth went and gleaned in one of his fields. So he had material possessions. And one thing I do want you to notice as we go through this chapter and the rest of this book is we find a man of wealth who also loved the Lord. That's possible. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can think that people are going to have much in this world and not love the Lord. Well, that's not true. We find in this book, we find a man who was a wealthy man, a landowner, who also loved God and who also lived correctly. You see, it matters not what we have, it's our heart seeking after God. And so we find a man who loved the Lord. Now, as we move into this, I want to talk about, let me get my outline, I got behind myself here. We got the person, Boaz, Ruth 2 verse 1, and now I want to talk about Ruth's plan. Ruth's plan. The Bible tells us that she was determined to work. We have a poor woman here from a foreign country, and the Bible tells us instead of looking for handouts, instead of expecting someone to come and help her, she decided she was going to go out and work. She was going to take care of the situation. She was going to provide for herself and also for Naomi. I think we see right away that Ruth was a special person. She was a hard worker and she was very diligent. And she was willing to work. You know, she didn't waste her days just waiting and hoping something would fall into her lap. The Bible tells us that she volunteered for this. She went out to the fields to glean. Now, if you'll notice, when she went, or before she went, she asked permission of Naomi. You know, as we go through this book, we find a lot of cultural differences in this book than in our culture today. You know, when I was reading this, I thought, man, you know, now she's an adult at this point. She's not a teenager, and she's an adult. You know how many adults wouldn't even think of asking permission from anybody to go do anything? They just would go. She here is very respectful. of her relationship with Naomi. And the Bible tells us that she asked. She didn't, say just go and do what she wanted to do. She asked. And I've often wondered if Naomi would have refused and said, I don't think it's good. I imagine Ruth would have stayed right there. But Naomi permitted, and Naomi thought it was a good idea. And so we find Ruth getting ready to go out. Now notice what Ruth also said here. In verse 2 she said, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now what we find is Ruth, here's her plan. She didn't say, I saw Boaz and I saw this wealthy man. I saw this great field. I'm going to go and see if I can work there. Her plan was simple. Basically, she said, I'm going to go out, find a field, and ask permission. That was it. You know, I think if we're not careful, we can make life more difficult than what it really is as far as walking with God. Yes, we need to seek God's will, but we have His revealed will. If we just live according to God's Word and we just live day by day being faithful to the direction He's already given, I believe the Lord will take care of us. So we find that she says, I'm going to go glean and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to work and I'm going to basically ask. And she didn't expect anything. She was just going to ask if she could glean in a field. And so we find that she was dedicated. Now, as far as the work in those days, let me give you some thoughts on gleaning. The gleaners picked up after those that had already reaped. Basically, and we'll talk more about this here in a little bit, the work, but it was a poor, humble job. It was for the poor people. It was for those that had nothing. You see, the Lord, as we'll see in a little bit, provided a way where they could work and they could have food and they could provide a living. And so that's what she was doing. She wasn't going to go become vice president of a corporation. She was going to go do a humble job, but that's what she was willing to do. You know, I think we need to be willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. And whatever's in front of us, we should be willing to do. And so that's what she did. And the Bible tells us that she went, it says there in verse 3, at the end, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So we have her going out, and the Bible says her hap. Now that word hap means, by chance, so to speak. Now, let me give you some thoughts on this. From Ruth's point of view, I guess you could say it was probably by chance. She didn't pick it. As far as she didn't plan this out, she had no idea who Boaz was. She didn't know anything about his fields or his workers or anything like that. So from her perspective, I guess you could say it was a little bit by chance. She just went out there, and I imagine she left the city of Bethlehem, went down the hill, and she found a nice field, and she just went and asked. But from God's perspective, it was working out His purpose in her life. You know, this morning, and that's not for us to live recklessly, but it's for us to be encouraged. You know, God knows the big picture. God knows how He's going to work and the direction He's going to take us. It's up to us just to be faithful and trust that the Lord will take us the correct way and that He will provide in the way He wants us to, to bless us. So we find that Ruth went and she picked this field, and lo and behold, it was the correct one. You know, if we're not careful, I think a lot of it's pride. You know, today we want to know God's specific will for our life, right? I mean, that's, bookstores are filled with all kinds of books on knowing God's will. Now, a lot of them are garbage. Some are good. Some are a little bit of both, good with some garbage mixed in. What I mean by that is some use all sorts of spiritual ideas instead of what the Bible teaches. Here's a thought. You know, as far as God's will is concerned, a lot of times we don't know what God's will for us was until we look back afterwards. And as we look back, we can see that God did work out all things. Now, of course, we know His revealed will. Now, we should never go contrary to God's Word. You know, if God's Word says, thou shalt do this or not do this, we need to follow those directions. But after that, you know, there's a lot of areas, you know, God doesn't tell you which position to take at work or if you should transfer as far as the Bible's concerned. It doesn't tell us that. But what we do is we live through prayer, seeking God's direction, and then trusting the Lord as we go forward to work things out for His purpose. And that's what Ruth did. That's all she did. And so I encourage you as you go through life just to live like that. Examine the situation. Pray for God to direct. Make a decision based upon His Word. That's the key there. You know, it's easy to go against what God has commanded and do what we want. Make a decision based upon His Word. Go by faith and trust that He'll work all things out as He said He would in Romans 8:28. So that's what we find with Ruth, that she went forward and she didn't even know the direction the Lord was taking her, but God had a plan for her life. So we find that she went out to work in the fields. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 19. I want to point out, just real quick this morning, point out the Bible teaching on this passage here, Leviticus 19, verse 9. It says here, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another." I'm going to stop there. What I wanted to point out this morning is, if you'll notice, and it's also mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 29, the Lord had a plan that he put in place to help those that were poor, that lived in poverty. And notice the plan. The plan was for those that had much, as far as the fields were concerned, and Israel, for the most part, was a place of agriculture, whether it was wheat or grapes, whatever it was. And basically, the plan was that when they went through, they weren't to go and strip everything. They were to leave, as he says here, the corners. Also, when they worked the fields, as far as the wheat, they also wouldn't pick up all the stalks. They would leave some behind for those that would come afterwards, the poor. You see, that was part of the Lord's plan for his nation. And so the fields were not stripped empty, but they were left for others. Now, we live in a totally different culture. I mean, everyone tries to get as much as they can. I mean, we strip every field, you know, and with the machinery we have today, nothing's left behind. But that's how the Lord planned it. Now, you think about this. I think it's a good plan. The poor were not given any handouts. They weren't told, just stay home and do nothing and we'll give everything to you. So the poor were not provided handouts. What they were provided was an opportunity to work. If they wanted to live, then guess what? It was there. Now, they couldn't go out and work on one day and become a millionaire or become wealthy, but over time, they could work, sustain themselves, and some would be able to eventually perhaps purchase or do other things. You see, the poor were given an opportunity to live. There were no government programs, no charity organizations that the Lord put in place. Basically, it was work, if you're willing to, and you'll be able to sustain yourself. Now, it's a good plan. Also, I think it allowed the poor to keep their dignity. You know that the poor people could work, and they could keep their dignity, and they could live and take care of themselves. Now we have Ruth here. The Bible tells us getting ready to go out in the fields. Let me give you a quick picture of what's happening out there. I had to look this up because I've never done this type of work. And I don't know if anyone here has. What you have is you have a group of reapers that would go through first. The wheat's ready to be harvested, and they would have their sickles, and they would go through and they'd begin to cut down the wheat, the stalks of wheat, and they would cut down. And for the most part, generally, it was men doing this work, and they would be cutting it down. Well, behind them, as they would go through, they wouldn't stop to pick up any of the stalks. They would continue on through. I read where one man said, he goes, on some days, he goes, you could hear the almost like a buzzing or whirring of the sickles just cutting through the wheat, a bunch of them all in the fields. And afterwards is when you would have, often this is where women or handmaids, as the Bible tells us here, would go through and they'd be picking up the stalks and they'd be bundling them together is what they would do. Now, of course, they couldn't pick up everything and they weren't to pick up everything anyway. They were to leave some behind for the poor. But they would go through and they'd pick up and bundle the wheat and they'd get it, you know, in wagons or in carts, wherever they were storing it. And behind them would come the gleaners. That's those that are poor in poverty. They were allowed to come on the fields and they would come and then they would pick up what was left behind, what was left over. Now, you can imagine the gleaners, they didn't get a lot. I imagine some days it got less than other days. Some days it may have been a good day, just depending on the situation in the field. But that's the work that was done. And then afterwards, they would go to the threshing floors. And we'll talk more about this next week, but they would take the wheat to the threshing floor, usually on the same day if they could, later that afternoon or evening. And they'd take it to the threshing floor. The threshing floors were wide open areas, flat, usually made of rock, maybe smooth areas, and that's where they would beat the wheat. Or later they would run over it with like wagons pulled by oxen, and it would separate the chaff, the straw, from the good grain. And then when the wind would come up, they would take the fork, they'd throw it up in the air so that the wind would take away that bad stuff, and then they'd have the grain. Now that's just, when you think about it, it's a lot of work. But that's what they had to do. And that's the type of work we find Ruth going into. And that's where, when she went onto this field, that's where she found herself. And that's where she went. So let's move on. Verse 4 says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." I'm going to stop there real quick. Can you imagine your employer coming tomorrow morning and saying, "The Lord be with you"? Yeah, for some it'd be far stretched, you know. But we find a man of God here. Now I know today some people work in situations where even if your employer is saved, he couldn't say that. It'd be all sorts of lawsuits and things. But we have a situation. What a wonderful man to work for. He comes to the Lord, the Lord be with you. And they said, the Lord bless thee. And then we find it says there in verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant, that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. She said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now we have a lot here, and we don't have time to cover all this. Someone just hit the highlights. We're going to talk first about Boaz's curiosity. Now we have him coming, probably like a good landowner. Who knows how many fields he had, but here he arrives and he talks to the workers, the servants. And as he's talking, he looks out and he must have paid attention to people. He must have been a people person because he saw Ruth. He did not recognize her, and he asked who she was. And Bible tells us that they told him. Now, I imagine just by observing her, he recognized that she was a hard worker. She was diligent and so forth. I also think here we find where, have you ever heard of love at first sight? That may have been the case here. From this point on, he was interested in Ruth. And we find later that interest was returned by Ruth. But what we find is the answer. This is what I want you to notice. How we find a little bit of Ruth's character here. Notice what this verse 6, it says here, this is the servant of Boaz looking at him and telling him about Ruth. He says, it's the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi. And then he explains to Boaz, basically, a little bit of what she's been doing. Now, if you'll notice, let's talk about her conduct for a few minutes. He says first that she asked permission to come in and glean. Now, she was poor. From my understanding, the poor often would kind of go ahead and just go on in, and they didn't have to ask permission necessarily. It was the proper thing to do, but sometimes they would just go and start gleaning. But we find that she asked permission. She wanted to work. She didn't want a handout, but she was also very polite and respectful. Politeness goes a long ways, and people notice that. Whether it's at work or with family or friends, just being polite goes a long ways. And so we also find that she did not demand. Today we find in our country, there are a lot of people that are poor that are demanding things. They're demanding, they want a certain amount of money. They want this. They want all these handouts, and they're demanding. I think someone in poverty really is in no position to demand. They should be grateful for anything that they get. And that's what we find here with Ruth. She didn't demand that she have a place to work. She asked if she could work there and get something. And I think she was grateful for anything that she should get. I think we find that she was her character. She was a woman of great character. And the Bible tells us that the servant said that she was permitted to work. And notice that she worked early. It says there that she came in the morning. He says, among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she had tarried a little in the house. So she worked from the morning. Evidently she was diligent. She worked hard. Because he makes a comment that she, if you'll notice there, it says, from now that she tarried a little in the house. In other words, she wasn't sitting around all day. Sometimes you get to work and people take 2-hour breaks instead of 5-minute breaks or whatever it is supposed to be. She wasn't taking long breaks. She wasn't just hanging out. She was working. And that's what basically he tells her. Now, what's interesting about this passage is this servant had no interest in the case. What I mean by that is he just told the truth, what he saw. And so we don't find a man trying to sway anybody. We just tell what he saw. And so that's the kind of person Ruth was. Now, notice what happens next here. It says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, he says, fast by my maiden. So we have a conversation now that takes place with Ruth and Boaz. Now, before we get into this, sometimes our faith will be tested. I think with Ruth, poverty probably tested her faith. She had come to Israel. She placed her faith in God. When she arrived in Israel, she had to live in poverty. And poverty can be a test of faith. You see, her conduct remained good during this time. No matter what tests were given, let's be faithful to the Lord. You know, here we find that her attitude was recognized, her conduct was good. She lived the way she was supposed to, even though she was in a difficult situation. Now, as far as the conversation, Boaz, the one who struck up this conversation, and basically he told her that she could continue reaping in his fields. In other words, he didn't want her to go anywhere else. Like I said, I think at this point he was very interested in Ruth. And he didn't want her to leave. He didn't want her to go to another field and glean. He wanted her to stay right there where she was. And basically, he's telling her, you can come back every single day. You don't have to go anywhere else. I'll take care of it. Everything will be fine. And even he provided some protection, if you'll notice there in verse 8. He says, have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? In other words, she'd be safe there. She would be able to come back and work, and she would be safe. And even to the point where he permitted water for her to drink, and she would be taken care of. You know, Boaz treated her very kindly. I think we have a man who was, what's the word? It's probably an old-fashioned word. They say smitten. He was smitten with her. He was interested, and we find him showing her some favors. And the Bible tells us that he admired Ruth. And not for the reasons why people often admire others today. Because notice what happens. It says there in verse 10, then she fell on her face, and we're talking about the conversation here. She fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She didn't know him. And not only didn't know him, she was a foreign girl from Moab. Now, I don't think anyone mistreated her, but I imagine she had a hard time or a difficult time making friends. She was different. And here we have this wealthy landowner favoring her. And she's surprised, and she asks, why have you shown me this grace? And notice the answer, and this is important. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. He says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, here we have, I think, her testimony just shining. We have this man, Boaz, who evidently, he heard of her. He didn't know her personally, of course. Didn't recognize her when he went to the fields that day, but he'd probably heard of her. Everyone had talked about Naomi returning, and I imagine everyone talked about who was with Naomi, this foreign girl. And here, he tells her, basically, he said, because of your kindness. You see, Boaz had been told about what she had done. Ruth had left her family. Ruth had left her land. Ruth had went with Naomi to nothing. Yet Ruth remained faithful. She probably had family and friends in Moab where she could have stayed. But she went. And the Bible tells us that Boaz recognized that. He saw that in her, that character, so to speak. And basically, her conversion was known. Because notice what he says in verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work. Full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Notice he didn't say, you know, maybe you can trust the Lord. Maybe he says, the Lord will bless thy work. You know, I think people by now knew Ruth had made a conversion, that she belonged to God and that she owned God as her God. And I think now, at this point, it's become evident. You know, this morning, here's a lesson for us. If we're believers, we should live like believers. It should be seen in our conduct. You know, of course, every day just going down the street, someone might not be able to tell. But I tell you what, after a while, someone's around you. After a while, they should know there's a difference there, that you're not of the world or like the world because you don't talk like the world, you don't act like the world, you don't go to the places where the world goes and so forth because you're different. And I think we find here that people recognize that Ruth was different. She was like them. She was no longer worshiping those false idols or those false gods or following after those ways. Instead, she had adapted into her new land, and she was faithful, and it was recognized. Evidently, Boaz had recognized that, and Boaz believed the Lord would recompense her. I guess maybe he was helping out a little bit, is what he was doing. He was doing his part to be a blessing to her as well, and Boaz, I guess they recognized that. Now, notice his consideration. This is verses 13 through 16. He wasn't done here. It says here in verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. You know, I imagine Ruth was not expecting any favors at all. When she went out to glean in the fields, she probably thought, if anything, she'd probably be mistreated or treated worse than the others because she was a foreigner. and that they would either wouldn't accept her, or she would have to be last picking up the weeds. It would just be a lot of hard work. You know, she had a lot of obstacles in her way. Yet we find that she was grateful because of the way he treated her, the favor that he showed her. And she makes that clear here in this passage in verse 13. In verse 14 it says, "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Notice here what we find with Ruth. Now, first, her request. All she asked was, she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight." Basically, she's just asking for him to be a blessing to her. She wasn't asking for anything special as far as anything extra. And what we find is that Boaz, I tell you what, he was a great blessing to her. That's what he was. First off, we find that he invited her to the meal. And she ate alongside the reapers. In other words, the workers. She was no longer with the poor, the gleaners. He brought her in amongst his workers, the reapers, and there she ate. And the Bible tells us that she ate alongside them. No difference. You know, we live in a nation where there's racial problems still in our country. You know, we don't want to admit it, but there are racial divisions at times. And there are racial problems. You know, I think one of the saddest, and this is just my opinion, I think one of the saddest testimonies of our nation still, you know, I read one man said the most racial hour in America is Sunday mornings. We all gather into our churches, not every church, but for the most part, churches of light color, basically. And that's still true in America today. When you go around the country, you'll find that. And I think that's it. Now, that's not of every church, and I don't think it should be. I think churches should be open to everyone, and churches should, race doesn't matter. But, you know, in our country, and of course, I know a lot of these churches aren't real churches, but that's what we find, is there's still division. Ruth dealt with that. She dealt with racism and dealing with that. She was a foreign girl, and she comes here, and we find here in this situation that she was allowed to sit with everybody else and to partake in this meal no different than anyone else, and that was due to Boaz. You know, it's a blessing to have people like Boaz in our world who look beyond and who accept people for who they are. You know, as believers, that's what we should be, each one of us. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to spend heaven with them, with everybody. No matter what color skin they are, no matter what classification as far as, you know, profession they work in, if you're saved and they're saved, they're going to be in heaven together. You know what? We're all in the family of God. If you're saved, we should not only respect, but we should love each other. There shouldn't be no divisions along those lines. I think we find that with Boaz here. He recognized that she had converted. She was loved the Lord, and so he accepted her for who she was. Now, it appears Boaz here favored her a little bit more, as we find that he directed the young men to let her glean among the sheaves. Basically, he said, hey, she doesn't have to be back there with those poor people anymore. Let her come up here with the reapers and let her gather there. Now, what that meant for Ruth was, not only was her job going to be a lot easier, but there was going to be a lot more for her to gather. She would be up there with the reapers' work. And also, he made it clear that they were not to reprove her in any way. In other words, they weren't to push her back and say that she wasn't supposed to be there. Also, they were not to accuse her of coming up and maybe stealing or taking more than she was supposed to. She was allowed to be there. And on top of that, he directed them, the Bible tells us the way it phrases it, to drop handfuls of purpose for her. In other words, as they're working, they were to take some and purposely leave them or drop them to the ground. Not so she could see, but so that way when she came, they'd be right there. You know, as we go through this book, and at the end, I might show some pictures of our relationship with Christ, and we find the picture of the Redeemer here in this book with Boaz and Ruth being redeemed. And you know, when you think about our Lord and Savior, He takes care of us like that too. You know, we get blessings every day. Blessings we don't expect sometimes, blessings we couldn't earn or we don't deserve, but He gives those to us all the time. It's just a blessing to have another day. Now here, Boaz was a blessing to Ruth and provided these blessings and gave her an opportunity to receive more. Now verses 17 through 23, we're going to wrap it up here. Verse 17, it says there, "So she gleaned in the field until even, beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, This man, or the man's name with whom I am wrought today, is Boaz. So we find here, here's the last thought I'll give to you, and we're going to talk about her reward. And we're going to see her excitement as she goes home, and then her explanation to Ruth. But the excitement, the Bible tells us she completed her work. Even though she was given more, you know, she didn't cut her hours short. She finished the day. Also, I think it's interesting is she didn't leave until she had went and took the wheat to the threshing floor. She went up there and she did all the work by herself. She went up to the threshing floor. She beat out the wheat, what she had gotten, and then she went home. So the Bible tells us that she was basically a hard worker is what she was. She did it all her own. And, you know, even carrying it home, she didn't ask anyone to help her out. She carried it home herself. Now, an ephah, I'm going to see if I can, I don't know if we know exactly what an ephah is. You know, I read three different sources on this, and they all had different explanations. So I'll give you the one I found I thought was the best. In the Bible, we find in Exodus chapter 16 that basically we know that an ephah was equal to 10 omers, is what most people believe. And an omer of manna was sufficient for one day. That's what we find, an omer of manna. So just a quick comparison, if she was able to take home, as it says here, an ephah, that means that she had probably 10 times worth of what she needed for a day, is what most believe. And give or take, you know, it may have been 7 or 8 times. But the lesson here we find is she went home with a lot. More than she probably expected. If you notice Naomi's reaction, Naomi was surprised and said, well, who was showing you favor today? Because she had a lot. She went home with an awful lot, a lot more than what she probably was, not, I don't want to say supposed to, but was probably expected. Some estimate that she carried home 20 to 25 pounds that day of grain. Did you see this woman carrying this home, probably excited and just thrilled? What a great day to start off going out gleaning. The Lord had really blessed her. Now, the large amount is a testimony to two things. One, her diligence. You know, if she wouldn't have went, she wouldn't have gotten anything. This morning, let that be a lesson to us as believers. You know, we need to be active in serving the Lord. You know, yes, we need to pray. We need to trust and have faith in the Lord, but we also need to be active. If we don't read our Bible, we're not going to grow in the Lord. We're not going to know more about what God expects. We don't pray. We don't take the time to get on our knees and talk to the Lord. Then we're not going to develop that relationship with the Lord. If we don't witness, we can't expect to see someone saved. We don't take the gospel out, it's just not going to happen. You see, we have to show some diligence. That's just the way that the God has, I guess, made it as far as our relationship with Him. It's not working for salvation. It's not working to appease God. It's being obedient to what God has given us. So we find here that's what she did. She was diligent. She went out to the fields, and so she was blessed. Secondly, it's a testimony to Boaz's generosity. A very generous man. You know, he noticed her. He was kind to her because of the person she was, and he was generous. So we find a testimony to both Boaz and Ruth. So we find that she returned home, went back to the city, and there she shared with Naomi all that she'd earned. And that's what we're going to finish up with. We've read verse 19 there, where Naomi questioned Ruth. She wanted to know where she had gleaned. How she could bring home this much in one day. Now, I don't think she mistrusted Ruth. You know, sometimes parents, you know, we get that way. You know, at least I do with my kids. You know, where'd you get that? They're carrying something they shouldn't be having. I want to know where they got it. I'm not saying that she was mistrust Ruth, but I think she knew something had happened, that someone had shown favor to her, and so she wanted to know who had been kind to her and who had shown favor, because she probably knew herself how much to expect from someone going out gleaning, and Ruth came back with an awful lot. So we find here that she asked, and Ruth explained the situation. She, you know, notice too, she didn't say, well, I went out and worked hard and got all everything myself. She gave credit to Boaz. She said, I found favor in his sight. He blessed. I went to his field. And I was taken care of. And then we find here, and we're going to get ready to wrap this up, in verse 20, it says, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto her, unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So we have her talking to Naomi. And in closing, I'm going to give you some thoughts on Naomi's advice here. First, Naomi shared the relation of Boaz to the family. Now, what we find, and we're going to talk more about this next week and the week after, but this is just a little bit of an intro to it. We find that he was their kinsman. And what we're going to see is the law in Israel provided for a redeemer for the land and for a widow and for a family. And we're going to see that that's Boaz was in a situation where he could be that redeemer to Ruth and to Naomi, so to speak. And he had the right to redeem. He had the authority as far as Naomi was concerned. Next week we're going to really look at this and see. There's a lot more to it, and we're going to discuss it next week. But basically, she shared with Ruth. I can imagine these two ladies sitting down, and I imagine it was a lot more detailed than what we have here. I imagine she began to tell Ruth, because remember, Ruth was from Moab. And she probably knew very little of the Bible. She may have had some knowledge, but I can just see Ruth or Naomi sitting down explaining all this to her and how it works and the law. And Ruth just taking it all in. And here she says, you know, the land that belongs or to Boaz or the man is the one that is able to redeem us. Now, the next advice she gave Ruth was to basically follow what Boaz had directed. You see, Boaz had been kind to her, had been generous. And Boaz told her to come back and to continue gleaning in her field. So basically, Naomi advised Ruth to stay there. You know, if Ruth would have went somewhere else, it would have been, I guess you'd say, disrespectful to his generosity. And so instead, she said, stay there. Follow that advice and continue on. And that's what Ruth did. We end the chapter here. It says that she continued there to glean under the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. So that's several months. The barley harvest in Israel took place in late March, early April. And then the wheat harvest took place in June, sometimes extending into the early July. So you're talking about pretty much in our day here, in our, I guess, say, country, that's spring going on into the summer. So several months she continued there working. And I imagine that everything happened real similar to what was happening that day. When she'd go in, she'd work there amongst the reapers, and every day she probably went home with a good amount. And the Lord blessed her, and she remained faithful. So that's the end of this chapter. And what we find in this chapter basically is leading up to the kinsmen. We're going to talk about that next week. But what we find, and what I'll leave you with this morning, and as far as Ruth is concerned, we find someone who was very diligent. And I think that's a good lesson for all of us. You know, it's easy to, when we get into troubles or trials, to become discouraged. And discouragement can lead to quitting or just not doing anything for the Lord. But let's do the opposite. Let's be faithful. Let's just continue no matter what. If we're having a good time or a bad time, let's be faithful to God and do what's right. And then secondly, Boaz. You know, I think of a man who, now of course he didn't have everything, but the Lord blessed him. Yet, he wasn't a proud man. It didn't go to his head. He didn't think he'd accomplished it. He still cared for his workers, greeting them with "Lord bless thee." He still looked out and noticed people, recognized that Ruth was someone new. And then later he was generous to her. You know, whatever God has given to us in life, let's use it for His glory and use it for His honor. And that's what we find with Boaz. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. Next week we're going to see Ruth, the relationship continuing. And we're going to see how Boaz is a kinsman or the redeemer of Ruth. And when we finish up this book, we'll have a little bit of a time where I'll show the picture of Jesus Christ, how He's our Redeemer. And just like Boaz was Ruth's Redeemer. So we're going to close with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day, for the blessings You provided. I thank You for this book that we've been studying and for the life of Ruth. I pray that You'll just open up our eyes to the teachings and the truth You have there for us. Please bless the service to come. I pray that You'll bless the preaching and the singing that we have. And I also pray that You'll bless our fellowship this afternoon. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.